I'd like to welcome you all to the La Trobe University podcast. I'm your host, Matt, and joining me today is Shan McLean. She's a researcher from Psychological Science, and she's the coordinator of Set Your Body Free program. Let's give her a big fake round of applause. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Matt. Good to be here.
So you're here to talk to us about body image and the sort of ways that you can treat negative body images that people develop for themselves.
Yeah, we're looking at women aged 30 to 60s, and that can really encompass a whole different range.
So it's International No Diet Day on the 6th of May.
That's right.
Now, I've sort of grown up reading magazines and you know, respected magazines telling me about the Atkins diet and the this diet and the that diet. That International Day, is that to sort of just show that they're, you know, they're not the way to lose weight and they're not healthy? And
that's right. It's sort of to promote an alternative to people, because we do get bombarded with these messages about dieting. They're everywhere. They're in every magazine. And really, they're not the healthy way to go, and they actually don't give people the right outcome either. You've probably come across many people who've gone on diets, endless number of diets for sure, many, many years. So people tend to lose weight initially, and then that will plateau, and then what happens is that they either lose faith with the diet or think that their willpower isn't strong enough, and so they stop that sort of strict eating, and they end up putting the weight back on, and perhaps even more weight than when they started.
So in the magazines that I read, you know, it's always like Gwyneth Paltrow or Lindsay Lohan or something, but I found it really quite strange a couple of weeks ago. My grandma was actually talking about going on a diet. And what I found strange was not the fact that she was going on a diet, but that I actually was so used to her crash dieting at 70 that it actually made me stop and think, my goodness, is this going to be something that, you know, people are still going to continue to do? So I find it really interesting that your program that you're running, addresses specifically the eating habits of people between the 30 and 60 year old.
That's right, and I think you're right about what's put out in the media and sort of popular culture, that these are problems for younger women. But younger women become middle-aged and older women, and if they haven't resolved that and they keep going on the dieting treadmill, then the problems don't resolve, and they're still dieting, wanting to lose weight and engaging in eating behaviours that aren't really sustainable across the life. And they're really stuck in that treadmill or that cycle of wanting to lose weight, dieting, putting the weight back on, starting the diet again, and feeling like failure because they can't lose weight and attain the ideal that society sets for women.
So what you're aiming to do is to break the dieting loop, so to speak, or...
That's right, yeah. Actually, we try and attack the loop in a number of different places, and that's what No Dieting Day is about as well, about making it acceptable for people to eat things that are sort of outside the diet, what we might call forbidden foods, you know, realising that diets aren't the way to go, but also thinking about different ways to accept your body, and that we don't just have one sort of really slender ideal in this world, which is what's really promoted now, and people think if they're not at that ideal, then their body and themselves doesn't have the value that they'd like.
So you said that dieting mightn't be the way to go, so what would be the way to go?
Generally, the most healthy approach is probably what we all know. That's the thing, there's a difference between knowledge and behaviour, of course, but literally eating regular meals across the day, having snacks, not having too much space between the time that you're eating, so maybe 3 or 4 hours. If you leave a lot of space, you tend to get very hungry and are likely to overeat at the next time you eat. And also having a wide variety of foods, not just because that's healthy in terms of your nutritional requirements, but also because if you have a variety of foods, you're not going to crave foods that you're not including in your eating pattern.
Well, I had friends back in university days who actually developed trench mouth because they had too much of the same food over and over again. I think it was just probably a lot of pasta and rice.
That sounds terrible.
Too many 2-minute noodles.
Yeah, too many 2-minute noodles at that place.
And that can happen at the extreme of dieting as well, that people will only allow themselves certain foods, and that's all that they feel comfortable eating. And if they go outside of that, they feel extremely anxious.
So what are the type of pressures that women between, you know, 30 and 60 feel that make them, you know, diet, have poor body image, you know, just develop unhealthy eating habits?
I think there's the pressures that women of all ages feel generally, and that's the idea that the only acceptable body weight and shape is that very narrow ideal. Then there's other risk factors and things, that behaviours that you might engage in, like looking at other women and comparing yourself and thinking that you don't meet those standards, and then feeling bad about yourself.
And so what about menopause and just sort of, you know, those type of life changes, things that happen around that age?
Yeah. Menopause in the research, it's been tricky to separate that out from actually just age, sure, but with menopause does come things like an increase in weight, which also generally happens with age, and changing in, for women, fat distribution, so that tends to deposit around the waist and in the breasts and upper back. And so that can be very difficult for some women to cope with, because they might have been someone who previously felt that they controlled their shape and weight and that was important to them, but when these changes are happening perhaps because of hormonal reasons and they can't actually control what's happening, they then feel very distressed by that because they can't actually change their weight in the way that they'd like and their shape. And other factors about age are just generally that women are moving away from the youthful ideal. You know, that's very important in our society, and developing things like wrinkles, you know, changes to hair, thinness, or, you know, thinning of the hair and greying of the hair. And so that might make them feel, you know, it's much more difficult to attain the youthful ideal in some aspects of the way that they look. So then modifying their weight becomes much more important, because that's the one thing that they feel they can have some control over.
So the big problem is really that people need to accept the way that they look when they get older. Is that?
Yeah, I think that's really part of it. Accept that who they are and the way that they look doesn't have to have such negative consequences for their own self-worth and their self-esteem, but also about society looking at a different range of people. You know, not just, you know, youthful midlife and older women, but generally women across the board. We don't see in magazines and media, don't see women from different ethnic backgrounds and different sizes and shapes, you know, all that much, and we're only presented with one ideal. And if that could be expanded, that would really help women as well.
But even though we do only have the one ideal, that one ideal, so to speak, isn't really representative of the population. A lot of the population these days are overweight in one way or another. Is it becoming more socially acceptable to be overweight as a result, or is what people perceive as being overweight, has that changed in the past to what it is now?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question about social acceptability. I'm not sure the answer of that, but we are finding, you know, generally there are more people who are overweight. But I think that the stigma about overweight still remains. People who are overweight think that other people perceive them as lazy, and it has a whole lot of other connotations and stigma in terms of getting jobs and the way that people in society perceive them. So I'm not sure that we actually have changed our views of people because the population is becoming more overweight.
So I suppose what you're saying is that our insensitivity towards the psychological reasons why people are overweight, that it's more than just that they're overeating, that they're not going to gym, that they're, you know, not doing anything about it, that it can be a lot more.
That's right.
Is that something that is addressed in your program that you're running?
And that's right, that people do think that, you know, because I'm overweight, I must have done the wrong thing. And they don't take into account what's actually contributing to them having difficulties with their eating, having difficulties being active on a regular basis. And there is a lot of psychological reasons for that. You know, if somebody's feeling bad about themselves, they don't really want to get out of the house and go and exercise. They certainly don't want to go to a gym where they consider that it's a place where people are, you know, dressed up in their lycra and have perfect bodies already. So it's that idea that you only go to the gym if you look good already. You don't go just for being active. And it's this sort of a similar idea with eating, that people struggle with their eating often because of psychological reasons. You might have heard of the term emotional eating. And so if somebody's feeling depressed, and that might be about how they look, then they will tend to actually overeat and overeat on those things that also are high calorie, because they're looking to feel good and have some positive emotions happening in their life. But of course the downside is the guilt after eating. So they eat to feel good, realise that they've eaten too much, and then feel terrible about themselves. And then that's part of the cycle that continues, because then they'll try and restrict their eating, and after a period of restriction they'll be craving the foods that they really want and then overeat again.
So it's a vicious circle there.
Absolutely.
I read an article in one of the major newspapers in Melbourne that said one third of overweight women just surrender to obesity.
What do you mean by surrender?
In the article, basically said that they find the fact that they're already overweight overwhelming enough, and then rather sort of trying to get themselves back to a healthy point, they just sort of keep going with the habits that they have until it becomes some, you know, a colossal problem, and they find themselves, you know, unhealthily overweight, or as they've called here, obese.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? Do you think that it is something that's a problem, or it's something much greater?
I think that can happen for people, particularly sort of into midlife, because, you know, obesity doesn't happen overnight. Mm. It's from a pattern of inactivity and overeating across a long period of time. So you might have a small weight gain each year, and you get into habits and patterns that are very difficult to break. And also, in terms of tackling overweight and obesity, there seems to be a promotion of this quick fix that you should go out and lose weight and lose, you know, X number of kilos in 6 months or something. And to change your habits and lose that weight is extremely overwhelming to do that. So I think if we can get away from this idea of diet and weight loss and move more towards what's healthy eating patterns and lifestyle patterns across your lifetime, then that might actually make it a little bit easier for people to comprehend. It's easier to say, well, make a goal of how much activity will I do a week, rather than make a goal of I must lose 50 kilos this year. I mean, that's overwhelming. You know, people might talk about waking up and thinking, well, I've got to lose weight before Christmas, or I've got to lose weight before the wedding, that sort of thing. You know, those sort of milestone events are very important to people and can bring up extreme concerns about body image. So to break it down more to observable and achievable goals is probably a much better way to go.
What's interesting about this this age group is that most of these women would be mothers and would have, you know, external pressures from family and, you know, keeping up with all of those sort of expectations. Do you find it sort of a common issue where, you know, they need support from their families as well, which would be hard because I assume that a lot of overweight women would, you know, that would be a problem that a lot of, you know, maybe their family have as a whole?
That's right. I think there's sort of two points. There's first the hidden behaviours with eating. People will actually hide their eating, you know, put wrappers in a separate bin or out to the wheelie bin outside instead of in the kitchen bin so people can see. So they won't perhaps be actually asking for support, so that's very hard to get it then. The other difficulty is bringing people along in your family with the healthy direction that you want to go. If they're not wanting to cooperate, you know, say with the healthy eating or not having certain snacks in the house or on a regular basis, then it's very difficult to go out and do that on your own. And with the time pressures of mothers, you can imagine cooking a meal for your family and then cooking a separate one for yourself is probably going to be, you know, a bit too much to ask.
So you've obviously done quite a bit of research into this. Just broadly speaking, what type of tips or advice do you have?
Yeah, sure. I think I suppose there's a couple of major goals, and on the body image side, what you'd be wanting to look at is reducing the negative consequences of feeling bad about your body, and they can include obviously just distress and feeling down about that. You know, how you look is a major component of your self-concept, so if you're feeling bad about that, that's going to have a major effect on your self-esteem and generally your mood. Other things are consequences of things like avoidance. So people won't go to a party because they feel bad about how they look. They won't go shopping because they think there's nothing that they can buy that looks good. And that experience of getting into a change room that many people have had is extremely off-putting. So looking to try and actually break people out of those patterns where they don't do things, because that just reinforces how much anxiety they feel about those behaviours. So trying to face going to the party and focusing on things other than how you look or worries about what other people think about you. And then the other major aim would be about the eating and getting back into that regular eating pattern. If people are feeling comfortable with how they're eating, that tends to also have a flow-on effect about their body image, because they're not worried every time thinking, oh, well, I just ate that donut, or I did this, or I did that, I overate after dinner, so I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to put on weight and look awful tomorrow. So they are very much strongly connected.
So what is a healthy way to look at a weight problem? Is it acceptance? Is that?
I think it's a really fine line, Matt, because we do know the health consequences of being overweight, and so it is important to address them, so, you know, they can't be ignored. But you need to be able to accept your weight in terms of who you are, and not thinking that it makes you a bad person or a lazy person or, you know, a worthless person. So acceptance from that point of view, while still trying to be healthy in other ways, and you can certainly be healthy in so many different ways in preventive healthcare with what you eat and the way you're active, and, you know, other areas like smoking or, you know, other things like that.
Do you think shows like The Biggest Loser and reality TV shows that focus on weight somehow make being that size more acceptable than what it once was?
I don't actually watch The Biggest Loser, so that's. But I
think that
I
show's
know
more
it,
so of a motivator, or.
Yeah, I think it could potentially move both ways. I still think in our society there is definitely not acceptance of overweight and fat people. I think that hasn't changed despite the growing levels of overweight. I think The Biggest Loser can perhaps have two aspects to it. One is maybe it's a motivator for some people, and I have heard that they think, look, here are these people doing something about it, I could do something about it too. But the problem that I see with it is that perhaps it's going about it a little bit the wrong way. It's looking for that short-term weight loss, and in an environment that people cannot emulate in their own homes and their own lifestyles. These people are locked away for 3 months or however long it is with a personal trainer and food provider and all these other things, and that's just not reality for most people.
I have read about people who have been on that show putting the weight on quite quickly once they get out of the house because they're no longer within that environment. Mm.
And that's also the typical pattern with dieting that everyday people go on. You go on this strict diet that, you know, allows you to eat just either one or two foods or not eat after certain times or carbohydrates not after 3 o'clock or those sorts of things. And when you stop that regime, the weight does come back.
So, finally, would you like to give your program a bit of a plug?
Absolutely. Yeah, the Set Your Body Free program. It's a program that promotes feeling better about your body, reducing the negative consequences of body image disturbance, and improving eating patterns in a healthy, regular eating pattern and without those extremes of restriction and overeating.